I appreciate being here and thank the Lord for his grace. You know, I was sitting there thinking, y'all have nothing to be ashamed of the grace of God. You shouldn't be ashamed to be called a grace believer.
Amen.
Religion, you know, they put a lot of stock in their names, and they put a lot of stock in their buildings and in their paved parking lots and their houses and all of that. But we have a treasure that's in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Don't ever be ashamed of the grace of God. Don't never be ashamed of being a grace believer. Don't never be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
You see, the things that he wrote down in Romans through Philemon is the testimony of Christ.
Yes.
And he said we have the mind of Christ. It's in a book. This book here, Holy Bible. See, I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. Holy Bible. The Bible said that he would preserve them. In Psalm 12, David said, O Lord, thou wilt preserve it from this generation forever. If God Almighty preserved his word, and he did, then somewhere in the world, I ought to be able to find a book, put my hands on it, and say it is the words of Almighty God.
Amen.
And I can, in a King James Bible. Now, why am I saying that? I just felt like it.
Amen.
Have no other reason, just felt like it. Don't be ashamed of this book. This book is the greatest book on the planet. It should be the greatest book in your possession. You should read it, study it, and rightly divide it. And let it just say what it says. And don't add to it, don't take away from it. It's the perfect words of Almighty God. And you can trust it. You can believe it. You don't have to defend it. It'll stand by itself. It's there. It never changes. And it's relevant for our generation as it was in Paul's day. You see why? The flesh never changes. The flesh is rotten to the core. And God would not leave his words to man to keep and preserve it. He did that for himself. Who could he leave to preserve his words so that from a generation forever would keep? What man? David was a man after God's own heart. Couldn't trust him with it. You couldn't trust your wife with David if you left her by herself. Man lost his life because he left his wife alone with him. You couldn't trust Jacob. Jacob deal under the bottom of the deck. You couldn't trust Noah. He'd get out and get drunk and forget all about it. Mankind is rotten to the core, and you, when God saved you, he never done anything with your own flesh. It's still there.
Amen.
And it rears its head up. It does when you come through Atlanta like we did. Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead. But I'm telling you, that old man resurrects himself a lot when I get in traffic. But anyway, I appreciate you being here. Now, I'm not going to hold you too long. Not really. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 3, and I'm just going to... Steve said I was the only thing that was between him and lunch. So I'm not going to hold you too long. But anyway, trust the Bible. Trust the Word of God. It's God's book. All right, in Matthew chapter 3, this old John the Baptist is out here preaching. No, I like you. I like John. I like to read about him. I just read about him, the way he dressed and the way he handled himself. My kind of guy. But look what he says. He's out there preaching. And I'm going to just begin in verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then I know that John knew about the wrath of God. Amen? I mean, it's obvious. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able that these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will truly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That would be the baptism of the fire, like Steve brought out. There are three baptisms in this one verse, the baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and he's baptizing with water. But I want to talk to you about the baptism there with the Holy Ghost. He said, there's one mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's talking to the people that he's baptized in water, and so they're out there. I want you to notice something about this baptism. Turn over and let's just follow some things about it. Turn with me to Acts, and notice in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now I believe that a lot's been said about the confusion and the two programs going on, and people fail to rightly divide the Word of God, to fail to see the difference between what Peter and them's doing, what Paul and them's doing. You see, I don't believe there was any competition between Paul and Peter now. I don't believe one was trying to outdo the other. I don't believe that one was trying to show off the other one. I believe that Paul was doing his thing, following the Lord and his ministry after he got saved. And I believe there was another group, the little flock, the new nation of Israel, and they had their people, their ministry. And they wrote to those people, and they also was dealing with them people. We're going to look at that thing, but look in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Notice what the Lord says here to them. He said in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then they asked him about the kingdom. But the Lord said in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Down in verse 4, Well, suddenly there came, verse 2, sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it, the sound, filled all the house where they're sitting. And I talked to a guy one time that said that this happened to them, and the wind blowed in there. But folks, the sound's what filled the house. Look what he said, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look back in Luke. In Luke chapter 23, notice in, Luke chapter 24. And notice what he says there. In Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, of his life, his death, his resurrection, what had happened. There are witnesses of them. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that, I believe, is the baptism with the Spirit. It was for power, and it was for them, and it would come upon them. The Spirit of God being baptized would come upon them. Just as John baptized with water, they would be baptized with the Spirit, in other words, emerged into it, controlled by it, filled with him, and he was the comforter. Look back in John. Now, he said, what's all I got to do? Well, we'll get there. I mean, good Lord, I got, they told me I had an hour. I mean, what, you know, an hour? I just preached a few minutes. But look in John, and notice in John, in John 14, Jesus said in John 14, verse 26. Well, let's go back and read verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the Lord cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Come down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's how they would write the Scripture. He wrote it through them, and he brought all the things that Jesus Christ had said and did to their remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, folks, I have a hard time remembering what I did last night. I mean, you know, the older you get, you can't. I don't have this baptism with the Spirit. And there is a difference. I read a man's book on dispensationalism, and he talked about that the hypers, he called us hyper-dispensationalists, ultra-dispensationalists, and he said the bad thing about them is they don't see that the baptism with the Spirit in Acts 2 is the same as the by the Spirit of 1 Corinthians 12. Same thing. No, they're not the same. You know how I know that the baptism with the Spirit and by the Spirit are different? They're spelt different. You hear people say, well, I go to the original. Folks, there's nobody ever seen no originals, and they couldn't read them if they had them. There is no originals. And they do all that. there is a difference between the two baptisms. And we're going to, I want you to see that. Notice in John 16, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Come down to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Prophecy. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. Now, folks, under the control. So, why would they need all of this? Well, John said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You see, folks, there is a day coming, and it's called the wrath of God out there. This wrath, it's coming. The world might not think so, but it is. And I'm just going to put it over here, and I'm just going to have 3.5 years divided by 3.5 years over here. Second coming over here, and the Lord's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. They're going to get the baptism of fire over here in the wrath of Almighty God when he pours out his wrath. Revelation said, who can stand before the wrath of the Lamb? Folks, it's coming. There's a great day of coming one day, and it is the wrath of Almighty God on this world. Now, they can do away with God. It's like a guy told me one time, I don't believe in God. Well, folks, just because people don't believe him don't make him go away. He's still there. And he's coming back one day, and they're going to see him. Well, it's going to be too late. He's going to take vengeance. Today, he's giving them grace. Today, the very thing that this world despises is what's keeping the wrath of God off of this world, and that's the cross.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for what Christ did on the cross, there would none of us be here today.
Amen.
We can go out and enjoy the good grace of God Almighty. We can see the sun. We can feel the heat. We can go out and enjoy life and live because of God's grace. But there's a day of coming when he's going to shut the mouths of this world and the leaders of this world. There's a day of coming when he's going to set things right.
Amen.
Well, I don't worry about all that. I'm not out here. I'm not going to get me no picket sign and go out here and protest this, protest that. What I am going to do is preach Jesus Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I usually start out of season until I get in season. But anyway, there's a coming day when God will speak to this world in wrath.
Amen.
You don't want to be here.
That's
right. Say, well, I'll know the Antichrist. No, you let me tell you, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. Steve used my clod joke. So Byron talking about the Undertaker. I'm not looking for the Undertaker. I'm looking for the Upper Taker. Oh, Lord have mercy. Back here. He dies. He trained. I believe it was Percy talking about training 12 men. This is a new nation in here. It's called a new flock, a little flock. He told the leaders of Israel, he said, the kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The nation that there was apostate. And so he formed a new nation out of apostate Israel. and there they are. And he trains these men, and they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism with the Spirit, they can lay hands on. Look over in Acts, and look in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, notice Philip goes down there, and Acts 8, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery, like they do today, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. To him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Come, Philip goes down, and they believe Philip's preaching. And I'm just going to go on down there. And the apostles come down, verse 14, then when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Now, folks, they didn't receive the gospel that Paul preached. Paul hadn't, he's not down there. Paul gets saved in Acts 9. But when they received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, you know how I know that they received the Holy Ghost?
Yeah,
that's right. They received it. What would be the evidence of it to Peter now? They'd speak in tongues. Look in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, he gets it without Peter laying his hands on. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preaches. Steve's done gone through that. Look what he said in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? We got to get them in the water. I mean, they got the water, but we got to get them in water. You know something? They would get baptized, and then they would go out and they lay hands on them. The Holy Ghost would fill them. And you know why? For power, folks. They got to go through this tribulation over here. They got to go through the wrath. They're not delivered from the wrath. And the Spirit of God would fill them and give them that power. For instance, let's look at some of this thing about it. Turn over with me and look in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24. And by the way, these people back here, that's called a church. And it's called the Church of God too. Just like the body of Christ is called the Church of God. But they're two different churches. They're two different groups. They have two different foundations. The foundation of this church is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Son of Almighty God. That's why Philip
and Act 8 baptized the eunuch. He said, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, you can if thou believest. He said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Almighty God. And Philip commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water and he baptized them there. He waited to see the confession. Paul laid the foundation for the body of Christ. What is the foundation of the body of Christ? That Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And bless your heart, that is good news for me. I'm a sinner. Don't you understand? I am a sinner. I have no hope without the Lord. I come to the Lord for my salvation. I believe the facts about the Lord. What is the facts about the Lord? He died for me. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. And he is the Savior, and he'll save you.
Amen.
I thank God for men that'll preach it like you've heard it here today.
That's right.
And if you're not saved today, you leave out of this building lost, it's your own fault.
Amen.
Nobody here ought to leave the day lost.
That's right.
God will save you where you're sitting right now while I'm preaching.
Yes,
if you'll just trust what his son did for you on that cross in AD 33, believing that he died for your sins, believing that he paid for your sins. Folks, all you got to do is just recognize he did that for me. I receive him as my Savior.
Amen.
And then take the date and mark it down in your Bible. This is the day that I trusted Christ, that what he did on the cross was for me. And then stand on it, bless God, and quit worrying about it. And rely upon his work and not yours.
Amen.
You don't have no work anyway. You're trying to work for your religion, your salvation. Jesus said in a day that they'll come and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in thy name. We've done many mighty works in thy name. We prophesied in thy name. And what's he going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed. For you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know what Jesus calls your works for salvation? It's iniquity. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? There's going to be iniquity going on all around about you. They're going to gather in their buildings and they're going to worship a God that they don't even know, and they're going to fog up the gospel. And brother, that's iniquity.
Amen.
They'll get in there and they'll put their robes on and they'll sing, oh how I love Jesus, and they don't even know the Jesus that they're singing about. So I don't like it. I don't care whether you like it or not. If so, anyway.
Amen. That's right.
World so full of idolatry, religion. Religion has sent more people to hell than any hokey talks you ever can go into.
Amen.
Brother, the sin of this world is not their problem. Their sins has been took care of.
Amen.
God was in Christ reconciling the world and himself. God removed the barrier that could keep you from being saved. God took it out of the way. He forgave all the sin to get his son out of the grave.
That's right. Amen.
You know, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now I want to tell you something. God looks at old Bri in Christ. He's well pleased with me. That's good news for me, brother. I mean, me sitting behind that wheel, that's good news. They wouldn't save like you.
That's right.
Why? Before we read in Matthew 24, just turn it down. The rabbit jumped up here, and I won't chase him a minute. Look in Acts chapter 2. And you know, a good old hunting dog, I mean, rabbit jumped up from me, he's going after him.
Amen.
So look in Acts chapter 2. People, they read this, and immediately they think,
It's just like when they read baptism immediately, they think water. They don't realize there's all kinds of baptisms. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'm straightened in it. I mean, folks, he'd already been baptized by John. He's talking about a baptism of death. But look what he said in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as, what's that next word?
Should.
Well, if they was already saved, wouldn't it be saved? I mean, should be saved? Look over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, one of the favorite verses of religion, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we, what? Must be saved. Folks, their salvation would happen at the second coming, the day of atonement over here. Paul said that the deliverer shall roar out of Zion, turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. They get their sins took away when the high priest comes from behind the veil. And there they know the sacrifice is accepted. They see the one whom they perish. They believe on him. And so all Israel that turn shall be saved.
Amen.
Paul knows that Israel nationally is going to get saved, but they don't have the salvation like you got. You see, you in here, this is called a mystery in here with Paul. And this mystery, you're sealed.
Amen.
That's good news.
Paul said to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. These people could lose their salvation. They needed power. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Notice what he said. He said, many shall, verse 4. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And watch it, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, that's religion, folks, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. They got to endure unto the end of this thing, because that's when they get their sins took care of. Now notice, look, hang on to Matthew, come back to Jeremiah, and look at Jeremiah chapter 30. In Jeremiah chapter 30. I mean, you need a CNI dog, a magnifying glass as big as a hubcap for not to see this. People don't believe words mean what they say.
That's it.
They get their doctrine from their songs. Most people go to church, they don't even carry a Bible. I went there, was a guy that wanted us to go hear this preacher. So we loaded up and we went over there to hear him. He got up and he read out of Ephesians chapter 4, growing up in the Lord, that you may grow up. I thought, well, this probably might be pretty interesting. He read that one verse out of chapter 4 of Ephesians. You know what he told the people? You turn, shut your Bibles now. Close them up, you won't need it. And he might as well shut his up. You know what he preached on? Babies. Not growing up.
That's all people hear today. Most people go to church, they don't even need a Bible. This is what you got this place. God don't care about the building.
Amen.
This, the building's not the church. The church is in here. The church is to save people. You come in here to fellowship and to study God's word rightly divided and learn how you to live in the dispensation of grace to be a good ambassador for Christ and have the right testimony and message to give to the world.
Preacher, brother.
That's what you have assembly for. Say, well, like one woman said, you get too loud and emotional. You know, she said that over and over. Finally, I told her, I said, well, where I was at that church, there was a big old cemetery out there, tombstones, tires out my head. I said, you know, you can go out there and have your church. I said, they don't hardly ever say a word out there. You be have peace and quiet out there. Religion. Well, it's something to get excited about.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Something to enjoy. It's I want to cry aloud and spare not. I want to lift up my voice like a trumpet. Folks, I got something to say that's worth saying. Yes. What is it? It's the Lord died. It's the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 30, he said, verse 7, alas, for that great day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved, what? Out of it or from it? Out of it. He's going to have to endure. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke. That he is there. That's the Antichrist from off thy neck. And will burst thy bonds. And strangers shall no more serve themselves and them. And but they shall serve the Lord their God. And David their king. Whom I will raise up unto them. I know where David's going to be at in the kingdom. Don't you? He's going to be sitting on the throne.
Amen.
He's going to have be ruling. And the Lord's going to rule through David. Over and over he talks about David. But they're going to be saved out of it. We're saved from it. Why? Jesus Christ bore our wrath for us. God Almighty poured His wrath out on His Son. God judged His Son in your place. You know what? God was judging you. God was pouring His wrath out on you. You were in Christ on that cross. He became what you are. Say, well, I'm bad. He became what you are.
Amen.
And he died. And they took him down off of that and they put him in that tomb. And on that third day, my mind's eyes, I can see him just get up. Looked around, walked over there, took the napkin off of the thing. He didn't disturb that because he just come up through it. Took that napkin off, folded it up, and laid it over in another place. You know why he done that? Don't you understand? They wrapped it, folks. Yes. They had mirth and had all his herbs on him and all that stuff, and they wrapped him. And they come up. He wanted them to be able to look down and see. There's no body in there. And out he went. Angel didn't roll the stone to let him out. He was already out. Angel rolled the stone to let Peter and John them in.
There you go.
He's not there. Now, God had to do something with the thing that brought about his death. The wages of sin is death. Death came because of sin on Christ. Not his sin. He had no sin. He was born of a virgin. He had no sin. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. He never said anything that was wrong. He never had an evil thought. He never done anything that was against the law. Death couldn't bring no judgment against him. But on that time, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on him. Can you imagine?
Yes.
You ever feel lonely? You ever feel like all alone? You ever feel like you're the only one out there? Let me tell you, you don't know what loneliness was. As our Lord felt loneliness on that cross, when for the first time he'd been separated from his Father. He prayed John 17 and he wanted the glory that he had with him before the foundation of the world. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. When he came up out of that grave, thank God he was God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and he shed his blood for you that's sitting in here right now. And there is hope for you right now if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the authority of this book that I'm preaching. God will save you today. Right.
Amen.
He forgave the sin. And old Brian, God knew that in 1971 in a hotel room, I have to tell it because some of you hadn't ever heard me tell it before. I was saved in a hotel room, 19 years old, Spruce Pine, North Carolina. I was a son of a deacon in a Baptist church. I was raised a Baptist. Folks, when I came up, you didn't get up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and say, are we going to church today? I need to know if so I'm giving. You knew you were going. And if you didn't go, if you got up and said, I feel like I'm a little tired, I don't feel good, my mama thought castor oil could cure anything. You went to church, or you got a dose. And I tell you, you went three times, we'd have revivals, and they'd be from Sunday to Sunday, man. Every night. And I walked out. I've been baptized five times. I've been in the creek. I've been in the lake. I've been in the running water, still water, ponds. I mean, baptistry, you name it, I've been dumped. Every time they have. And then when I was 16 years old, I was sitting back there in the back, and the preacher didn't want to preach. He didn't have nothing to say, so he had them sing. And he got them all worked up. So down the aisle he come. And there he was, and he got a hold of my arm, and he said, Brian, you saved? I said, no, I'm lost. I was honest with him. I said, I'm lost. My very words to him was, if I die right now, I go to hell. Wow. And he literally got a hold of me and was pulling me. And I was holding on. I wasn't wanting to go up there. And I looked up and I seen my mom. She's doing this. Whatever, head bowed and eyes closed, but my mom was doing it. And I thought, well, I can't. I got to go up there because what am I going to tell mom? So here I come. Down the altar I went, and they thought they'd won a lottery. They all gathered around me and began to pray. And I just got down there and I just let them pray. And I got up and, or you say, yeah, I'm saying I feel a lot better. You know why I felt better? I did what they wanted me to do. I knew mama was going to be happy.
That's right.
So I said, oh, I was saved when I was 16. I remember the time. I remember the place. And I can take you right back to the time and the date and all that. I went up there and now I was saved. Miserable inside. For 2 years, I'd go to my preacher. I did this as my wife was here. She'd tell you, for 2 years, I went to the pastor of that church and knocked on his door every week, one day a week, and said, preacher, I just feel like I'm lost. What kind of preachers do we have that man will come week after week after week after week and tell them, I feel like I'm lost? And they say, brother, you need more faith. I've heard you. You got a great testimony. He got me down one time, had me to read out loud Hebrews 11.
The faith.
What faith was. And the night I got saved, on Friday night, I jumped my religion. And I said, Lord, if you don't save me, and what you did, there ain't nothing I can do. I'm tired. You save me or I'm just going to go to hell. And when I give up, brother, there was a peace that came to me.
Yes, amen.
I could rest. I had a foundation. It's like this foundation. You think this wall, this foundation is struggling to stay up? You think, if it is, I want to get out of here. You know what this wall's doing? It's resting on the foundation. You know what our foundation is? Paul said he laid it, that he died for our sins.
Yes, he did.
This foundation for that new flock over here, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, just, they need that unction. Turn to 1 John. Remember he said, and I'm going to wind it down here, because I'm tired. And if y'all don't start pumping now, I'll keep forgetting it. But I'm just tired. You know, I used to coon hunt, and I had coon dogs. And you get out there coon hunting them coon dogs, you know, and I still like it. I go out there outside here on the running, and I had an old lady, that was the best one I ever had. And she'd hear my voice and I'd go, woo! Speak to the lady. And boy, she would tear a tree up. If I didn't say nothing, she'd just, woo! But when I'd go, lady, speak to me, she'd really get on. So don't y'all get me a coon hunt. Look in 1 John. Chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. But ye have, verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. They'll need this unction in the tribulation because of the Antichrist. Many false Christs, false prophets coming. You will have the unction. Folks, you don't have that unction today. I don't want that. I don't want to know all things about you. How do you think Peter knew that Ananias had done what he done alive?
Yeah.
He was baptized with the Spirit. Look in verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them which seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Well, folks, Paul said he gave teachers to the body of Christ. They don't need nobody to teach them, but the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. During the tribulation, you know what books they're going to use? They're going to use Hebrews through Revelations in the gospel. Guaranteed. This new nation went, and they was carrying on their ministry. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appears to the Apostle Paul and reveals to him the mystery. Today, we're sealed with the Spirit, and when we trust Christ, we're baptized by the Spirit. They got with the Spirit and with water back there. We're baptized by the Spirit, and in Ephesians chapter 4, when he writes one of his
later epistles, probably close to later than you think, he says, one Lord, one faith. How many baptisms?
One.
One. By the Spirit, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. One baptism today. It's not the baptism with the Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Folks, you don't need that today. Why? You have the complete revelation of God Almighty.
Amen.
You have the complete Word of God, the mystery that Paul got from the Lord. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may withstand the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. All you need is in this book.
Amen.
If you're rightly divided.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.